Welcome to the Be the Adult podcast. Be the Adult is a nonprofit organization that provides blueprints for calm and effective parenting so that children can grow into their best selves. Because ultimately, we aren't raising children. We are raising little people who will one day be adults.
Hello, Nancy.
Hi, Marisol. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Good.
So this is going to be a little bit different than our other episodes up until now. We're on episode 7.
Right.
Praise Me and My Efforts. But we are re-recording this episode.
Yes, we are.
And we are posting it this Sunday. And it's Wednesday evening. And the original, all the episodes, we originally recorded this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yes.
That's how podcasting works sometimes.
Okay.
The timelines aren't always linear, but we had the event that we've been talking about on the podcast.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was a great event. And we actually have the date for next year.
Yes,
well.
November 7th.
Yes.
Put it on your calendar.
Put it on your calendar. sponsor us again.
Our sponsors rock.
It was a great event, and we're so grateful for everyone who showed up and donated and bought raffle tickets.
And square danced.
We are super grateful and excited for that. And we launched the podcast.
Yes, so. Absolutely.
But it is weird to do this real time because I was telling you I had a little story.
A little story that makes me nervous. Go ahead.
You've heard of synchronicities?
Yes.
Okay. So we recorded this over the summer. Mm-hmm. So leading into the school year, I was totally on board. This is great. Let's do it. And every episode that we've published, whatever the theme was, seemed to, I needed to be doing it in my actual life.
Oh, I love it.
And I specifically remember the Be Calm episode.
Uh-huh.
My life was, what's the your metaphor? The
pool of water?
Pool of shit is what I was
okay. There you go.
It was a couple,
just cut to the chase, yes.
It was a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And in my personal life, and I was swimming in a pool of shit, and I hate that metaphor.
Good. I'm glad you're not comfortable with that.
And I needed to be calm, which, it's so funny. Every time we've published something and I go back to listen to it after we published it, it's what I needed at that moment.
Fantastic.
So that's a way of saying you can always use these tips.
Every day.
There's no, you don't learn them and then you're done.
No.
You're constantly applying them. It's like chutes and ladders, you know, that where you slide down.
Uh-huh. And you get back up. Yeah, and we never really, quote, master these.
Yeah.
We just keep getting better and better. And I hope my whole lifetime I continue to practice and get better.
And it is. It's a practice. Mm-hmm. You have to constantly, I know I was talking about the last episode, episode 6. I wasn't particularly happy with my performance on it. I felt a little bit, I don't know. I just didn't like how I came off. Uh-huh. I know everything. I don't know anything. But I am grateful for these tips. And something I wanted to add was while I was swimming in this pool of shit. And when I say that, I'm just saying life just threw some, I don't know what you want to even call it, lessons, challenges, tests.
All of the above.
But what I was feeling, what I was doing is I was saying be the adult like a mantra. I had the weight of this podcast on me,
right,
when I wanted to devolve into, uh-huh, the worst version of myself. So I've never thought of that before, but using it as a mantra, I gotta be the adult.
Absolutely, right.
So.
And that means different things to all of us.
Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Sure.
For creating this.
Oh, thank you for having the awareness and working.
Yeah, it's a constant struggle. But this week, we are talking about Praise Me and My Efforts. And I'm going to read from the book.
Okay.
So I always start out with the why. Why is this important? This helps, and this is from the child's perspective. This helps me feel proud of who I am, motivates me to keep trying my hardest when embracing challenges, and shows me how to get positive attention from you. believe it or not, I will keep doing whatever gets me the most attention from you, positive or negative, so please give me a lot of praise. How? Excuse me. How? Please tell me several times a day specific things that you appreciate about who I am and what I do and giving my best effort to whatever I am doing.
I feel like I want to ask you to model that right before you read from the book.
Praise me?
Yes. Praise yourself and your effort.
Do right? not swim in shit?
Yes.
I just took a dip in it. I didn't actually do laps for a while. I definitely giving myself compliments is hard, but giving my kids, this was one of the ones I've said it did right. not come naturally
right.
to me. Not compliments. I don't want to frame it the wrong way.
Positive reinforcement.
But positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. I certainly was not raised with it, so it wasn't authentic for me to practice it. Mm-hmm. But before we jump into that, what do you have to say about?
Well, I'm still looking at you. Because really, if we remember that we model for our children how to live life, and so before we even can get to the praising them and their efforts, we need to first look inward and make sure that we are modeling praising ourselves and our effort, no matter how small, to create change. Because we're showing them we can always learn, we can always grow, and how we climb the mountain is to take a step and say, wow, I just did that. How does that feel? Oh, that feels really good. And then I take another one. So that's where my brain is.
No, I appreciate that. And I will even second that this week I had lunch with two of my friends. We were kind of just talking about our children and what's mm-hmm. going on with them. And at one point I said, you know, we were kind of all just beating ourselves up, you know, with right. what was going on in our children's lives. And I'm like, I don't think, I don't mean to be specific to women, but I'm a woman, so I'm speaking for myself. Like, why do we do this to ourselves? Like, what, you know, I don't feel like it's, I feel like it's very normal for mothers to put this unbelievable pressure on ourselves, and everything that goes wrong,
right,
it's on us.
That we own. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we could spend a whole podcast talking about how that happens, but really the simple answer is we were conditioned that way in our family of origin, and we repeat the cycle unless we have the courage, like you do and everybody listening, to really look inward and try to change some of that. I wanted to take a quick aside, which I meant to mention at the beginning of the podcast. I got the coolest email from someone. Mm-hmm. Sorry to share that.
Yeah.
And
you've actually gotten a few.
I've gotten a lot. Yeah. I think 4 or 5 recently. But this one was particularly near and dear to my heart because the mom reached out to say thank you and tell the story of how her son, who's 8, found the Be the Adult book on their bookshelf, read it, turned the page to it's actually the Creating Structure
next week's episode,
and said, hey mom, I read this and I think that this could help both of us. Can we work on this together?
That's amazing.
It's the coolest thing. And the mom beautifully, you know, validated him, you know, appreciated his effort to try to create change, sat down with him to work on this. And for me, the coolest part is, I love that part of our mission is to empower children to realize how they deserve to be treated and then to ask for it. Mm-hmm. And I was just super excited about that. Yeah.
I'm excited when I listen to the episodes after they're published. Just in the, again, we mm-hmm. taped them in the summer. It's now November. Just how much my children and I have changed in this period of time.
Right.
I know, I think it was last week's episode, you corrected me when I was talking, I think, the way most parents talk about how we kind of label our kids, like mm-hmm. the athlete, the artistic one, this or that, and you reframed that for me. And funny, because the child I was speaking of as, you know, I think an athlete, not an academic, is killing it this year academically. So it's all good information.
Absolutely. So to circle back, I kind of deflected a little bit. But so our children, right? Everyone has heard negative attention to a child is better than not getting our attention, which is so hard as an adult to wrap my head around, because if you are not being nice to me, I will do anything I can to not make contact with you. But if you're my parent, right, and that's how I receive attention, is the negative attention, whether it's screaming, yelling, shaming, lecturing, whatever it is, I will keep engaging in whatever behavior got me that, because I would prefer to have your attention than not, or for my brother to have your attention, or your cell phone, or your work, or the dishes, or whatever it is. And so really the core of this is we want to connect with our children in a positive way. So, and show them that we think they're good enough, and tell them that we think they're good enough, and their efforts are good enough. So they want to continue to receive the positive feedback, and they will keep engaging in the behaviors that got them the mm-hmm. positive feedback from us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if we I believe this was an exercise you gave me once, which was like write down how many times I was giving either negative or positive.
Just increase our awareness. Just to,
yeah. And I remember being blown away. This was many, many, many years ago. And then I did more research on my own. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where I got this from, but it was some study or some article I read that said it's a 4-to-1 ratio that we, for every 4 negative comments we mm-hmm. hear or consume, even
yes,
you for every positive we get normally 4 mm-hmm. negative, mm-hmm. and that's pretty sad.
Yeah,
and that's the norm. That's not like the exception,
right? And I always say that we need to positively reinforce our children, each child, 3 to 5 times a day. Yeah. There's been the Gottmans who have done a lot of the clinical research on marriage, mm-hmm. say that it's really like a 5-to-1. We need 5 positive
for everyone
negative. Yeah. And it's super important. There's a lot of great studies. Remember, our goal here is to present these concepts in a very basic
conversational way
to really just increase awareness, and then for people listening to take these and explore the topics on their own. So there's a lot of great research by Carol Dweck and a lot of other researchers who really look at praising effort versus outcome. And when you
can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, when a lot of parents will say, "Oh, you got an A, good for you, that's great," thinking that will motivate the child to get more A's, versus really what the research shows is we praise the effort. "Wow, I noticed how you spent 2 hours studying for your Spanish test yesterday. That is so cool that you told your friends you couldn't go outside and play because you wanted to study and do well in your exam. I love that." And so we really want to focus our energy and the praise on the child's behavior, on their effort, and not on the outcome. And there's a lot of reasons why, but basically, you know, another example is if we say to our child, "Well, you're so smart," right? Instead of saying, "Again, I love how you really wanted to do well on the test, and you went in to get help from the teacher and then spent your time studying in the library get the result that you wanted." Because when we just focus on, "Oh, you're so smart," eventually a child is going to be confronted with a math problem or something that they can't do. And if they can't do it, and they're always told, "Oh, they're so smart," they're going to believe that now they're stupid if they can't figure out the equation or understand the paper they're reading. But the child who's been praised for their effort will say to themselves, "Oh, it's not that I'm stupid. I just need to put more effort in to understand this." Mm-hmm. And so that was just a really quick explanation of this. But there's great research on this. And this is how I've really tried to raise my children and encourage people. So you also want to specifically label the behavior instead of, you're a good boy or a bad boy, for a lot of reasons. But the basic reasons, when you say you're a good boy, right, then the child thinks they're only good when they've engaged in the behavior that you're praising. And then so they're bad if they don't. So instead of saying, oh, you're a good boy when you watched your child share, you want to say, oh, Johnny, I love how you just shared your toy with Sally.
So being specific.
Well, that's the next part. It also specifically reinforces exactly what they need to do. So we're crystal clear to be able to, for them to get their positive reinforcement from us, the attention.
So, for example, Halloween, mm-hmm. my son didn't go out that night. He was studying for the SAT.
Wow, good for him.
And so I praised him for that effort. Mm-hmm, and exactly. I remember I specifically was like, it doesn't matter what your score is, mm-hmm. just how much effort you're putting in. So that would be the right.
Absolutely.
Versus him getting the score and being like, oh, I'm so proud of you for getting this mm-hmm. score.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we want them to always feel like we believe they rock for who mm-hmm. they are in their soul, mm-hmm. not just when they perform to a certain level.
Yeah. So for me as a parent, like I said, the way I was raised, mm-hmm. this was not practiced at all. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't it was really one of the hardest concepts for me to mm-hmm. to put into practice because it didn't feel genuine or mm-hmm. authentic. And eventually it did. And mm-hmm. now, you know, I'm much easier within. I've learned that there's some ways I do it better than others. Like I write mm-hmm. really well. And I can praise them that way sometimes. So what do you say to the parent that, you know, this isn't, they're not that warm and fuzzy person.
Right. Right.
That this comes easily to.
Right.
Like, how do you get into a practice of something that's not your... I'm trying to say, like, it's not your
default. It's not organic. Yeah, it's not your default. So I'll speak to that in 1 minute. My okay. brain is just catching up with me. Sorry, I'm just tired. One other really important reason to label the behavior, right, and not the child. Kids can change their behavior, but you can't change who you are in your soul, right? And so we want them to believe that while we sometimes don't like their behavior or their choices and there'll be consequences, and we're going to talk about that in another podcast, we always truly believe that who they are is good enough for us. So mm-hmm. I just didn't want to forget to say that. Mm-hmm. So to the parent who this doesn't come organically to, right? First, I would really look at ourselves, right, and do an assessment. How am I? What's my relationship like with praise? Praising myself, receiving praise from others.
Like you caught me in the beginning yeah. of the episode.
Just increased your awareness, right? Yeah. I have the luxury of yeah. watching, right? It's hard yeah. when we're in there of seeing yeah. things.
I've done the same to you, though.
Yeah, absolutely, which I appreciate. Thank you. I hope you continue yeah. to also, yeah. That's right. One of the earlier podcasts, yeah. Mm. So first, do a self-assessment and see where we get stuck and do our own work on where we get stuck so we can increase our awareness of it and our behavior, because even though it might not have been wired in your head or in a lot of our heads how to do a lot of this, right, we can change that when we first have the awareness and then we put the effort in, right? Mm-hmm. There we go. So that's what I would do first. And then I would sit down with my kids and say, whatever language, depending on developmentally where your child is, and say, you know what? I really appreciate who you are and how you live your life. And I want to communicate that to you enough. What's that like for you? And even if they just stare at us, at least they hear what we're saying mm-hmm. and say, I'm going to set an intention. I'm going to write myself a note or set a reminder on my phone to stop and take a moment and make sure that I am communicating to you how I feel about you and how I feel about your effort in life to be your best self, to reach your goals, to take good care of yourself. And so you're going to see me practicing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to practice on myself too, because maybe I don't have such a great relationship with that. Maybe that's mm-hmm. what I discover that I learned from my family. And I want to change that for you, and I want to change that for me. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to work on that with you. And I'm going to check in with you and see if you think that I am, you know,
doing this.
And if I'm not, I would love for you to tell me.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. What if you start doing this mm-hmm. and you identify, you become aware that your child believes something, has a belief about themselves that mm-hmm. isn't healthy or positive. Mm-hmm. I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but what do you do with that awareness?
Yeah. So do you mean something like if a child calls himself stupid?
Yes.
Or, yes. Okay. So there are a couple layers to that one, mm-hmm. right? So what I would do in a quiet moment is I would sit down and talk to my child, and I would be vulnerable. I would share my experience of hearing that. And I would say, hey, I would love to share with you what it's like for me to hear you when you say negative things about yourself. And I would say, you know, it's true for me. I feel really sad when I hear you call yourself
X, Y, Z.
X, yeah. Y, or Z. What's that like for you to hear me say? And again, if they just, they might just look at us or they might engage in a conversation. But I want my child to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would take it to another level and I would say, I would love to share with you when I hear myself say negative things about myself, really what that means is I'm typically angry or I'm hurt or I'm sad or I'm scared. And it's, air quotes, safer for me to beat myself up than for me to really take my anger, hurt, sadness, or fear and do something about it,
yeah.
with it, right? Hand it to whomever it belongs to, or journal, or empty chair someone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to share with my child that this is kind of a normal thing to do at times in life,
mm-hmm.
and that to really dig a little deeper when we are beating ourselves up and really try to understand what the emotion is that's driving that. A lot of kids will say, I hate you, to their parents. It's kind of a normal thing for kids at some point in their life to say, and it triggers a lot of parents, rightly so. I think the first time I heard it, it was like a punch in my stomach. And then I took a deep breath and counted and got myself, you know, mm-hmm. calmer,
calm.
Self-regulated. Yeah. And then I said, you know, my experience of hearing that, wow, that hurts my heart to hear yeah. that. I'm imagining you're really angry with something I said or I did, or you're feeling hurt or sad. Yeah. I'm really curious about that.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
No, I think that's a great example about the I hate you, because I've heard that, mm-hmm. you know, from parents.
It's pretty common. Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of gut-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
When it happens. So I think it's fairly universal.
Well, it's hard not to take that one personally.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. So I'm curious on it, because how, if that child has that inner belief that mm-hmm. let's go with the, I'm not smart or mm-hmm. I'm not pretty or mm-hmm. I'm not X, Y, Z, how long of a practice is this? How long do you start to see a pivot or
a shift?
Yeah.
Well, it really...
I'm just going to say, I imagine it's... I know in my experience, in the beginning when I said it didn't feel authentic or
right.
organic. Now I feel like my kids, when I say it, they believe it. They
mm-hmm.
know it.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, that took a while in my home, you know, which is different.
I'm yeah. sure. Well, you built trust, right? It depends how much trust we have, how long this stuff, yeah. these techniques take to work, because none of this will really work unless we are building a foundation of trust. Because if my child thinks I'm bullshitting them, right, if they don't trust me, they're gonna think I'm bullshitting
and they'll
them.
Like, my kids will call me out. They're like, well, you're just my mom, that you have to say
right,
that
right. And what we want to do, I've heard that from my kids, and a lot of other parents have heard it from kids, and our tendency is to dismiss and say, well, no, that's not true. You shouldn't feel that way,
mm-hmm.
when in the moment it's just going to make things worse. So we need to validate. We need to hold their heart and say, so it's really hard for you in this moment to trust me that what I'm telling you is true. Is mm-hmm. that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's hard to do, because when we're triggered, right?
Yeah.
But if we can practice the skills of how to self-regulate to calm ourselves down, then we can engage in a conversation like that. And if they say, yeah, it is hard because you're my mom, I would say, yeah, I get that. I understand that that's how you might feel. I would love to share with you my data points,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I might say, I feel sad that you think I'm bullshitting you. I understand that's how you feel. I just feel sad because I know that I always speak the truth to you.
Yeah.
And my hope is that at some point you will feel that too.
You'll believe it.
And then we just have to sit in that discomfort.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another way to help us, she just said this a little while ago, a lot of parents will say things all the time to, quote, build our kids up. Oh, you're so pretty. You're so smart. You're so this. You're so that. But really, it backfires, because a child will think, well, mom thinks I'm perfect at everything, and nobody is perfect at everything, right? Yeah, yeah. And so can she not think of things that are really true that she has to say all that?
Yeah.
So we really need to be concrete, very specific.
So I was going to say not generic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. That's the word I was looking for. Okay. Yeah.
Because that's what I found in the beginning for me. Right now I can list 1,000 things I love about each of my kids differently.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
But when you are trying to practice this, it doesn't feel, you know, it feels very generic. Like you're struggling, not struggling. I don't want to give the impression that I struggled to come up with things to praise, but it was sort of like I wanted it to be
authentic. Well, I think struggle's an accurate word for most of us because our brain is wired to focus on negative.
Yeah.
Right? And the negative stuff that our kids engage in is typically what gets our attention.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's a setup for us to continue down that road.
It's a hard practice.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. Because if you didn't grow up with it, it's not going to be wired in your brain to look for the positive. I mean, evolution, from an evolutionary perspective, we're supposed to look for the tiger to keep ourselves safe, right?
Yeah.
And so it's really like anything other habit you want to change, it's first having the awareness, which hopefully we're communicating now, then being really intentional,
mm-hmm.
setting an intention in the morning. I'm going to praise each of my children uniquely, individually, 3 to 5 times a day. I'm going to write a note and put it on the refrigerator to remind myself. I'm going to tell my children this is my intention. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, I'm going to check back in and say, okay, Nancy, did you follow through with your intention? If I did, I pat myself on the back. If I didn't, I don't beat myself up,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not, doesn't take good care of me, nor if my children are watching.
Yeah, and I did that in the beginning. I remember we kind of joked about this. I thought I was 8 because I added 3 and 5.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I was like, I had to do 8 times 3 kids.
Right.
I was like, I can't do that. But,
and 3 to 5 is just a generalization. Yeah.
But what I've kind of landed on, and it's been a few years now, is I've kind of reframed it in my home a little bit with things I'm grateful for.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. About my kids. Like, you know, I'm so grateful that you blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I'm so grateful that, because that's an easier, that's for me much more an authentic place to come from.
I love how you phrase that. And actually, the research shows that just saying what you're grateful for increases your happy chemicals in your brain. So that's another bang for your buck, right?
Yes, I've been working on that for years.
Well, and it also models for our children to focus on what they're grateful for.
Yeah.
Right? And not the negative all the time with their friends or with us or their siblings, right?
Yeah. And so I'm thinking of a conversation I had with my daughter this week where I was like, I'm just so grateful you're my child.
Aww.
You know.
Oh,
and
I love that.
That's now, you know, however many years I've been practicing that, that's always authentic. And uh-huh. But in the beginning, when I was first applying this, it was very much like, I'm proud for.
Right. A little rote, yes.
Yeah, it was just not, it didn't roll off the tongue for me. So, but with time, you find your own way.
You make this yours, yeah. And really with anything that we're learning or trying to change, it's going to sound, I can't think of the right word, but inorganic is that word.
Just inauthentic.
Inauthentic, thank you, at the beginning. Yeah. But just practice.
Yeah.
And it shows our children that it takes time to master something.
Yeah.
But this is so important to us to communicate how we feel about them that we're willing to put in the effort and the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll also just say one other note is when you have multiple children, what I've kind of learned is this also helps in treating your children not differently, as they need to be treated.
Unique individuals,
mm-hmm. because you go away. Oh, sorry, I hit the mic directly. You go away from these generic, like, I'm, you know, happy about your report card or that you shared the toy, to specific things about them that is specific.
Yeah, I love your huge heart.
Yeah,
your smile is
infectious.
Or how
disciplined you are.
Mm-hmm. Or how disciplined, exactly.
They're all different.
Yes, and the really cool thing is that once you start practicing enough, and your kids get older, you will hear them say things to you about what they appreciate about you, or themselves, which is really. Yeah. Fun to watch. Yeah.
I see that with my oldest daughter. She checks me, and sometimes when I'm not being nice to myself. Mm-hmm. Like, she'll be like, she'll call me out on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Good. So she, so you're already changing things, you know, yeah. for her generation. She already has more of an awareness of how we treat ourselves.
Yeah.
And then obviously how we treat others too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, the one thing I wanted to add that I don't think we mentioned on this episode is, you know, where we are, we're in number episode 7, and these are all kind of building blocks mm-hmm. to each other. Yes. So, you know, you've done, you're regulated, you're calm to do these things. Yes. You're, you know.
I can stand on 2 feet and interact with you in a, from a balanced, centered state.
Yes.
Yes, because if we're not, then our brain is not going to be able to do any of this.
And it's not authentic if you're if you're swimming in shit.
No, and then you're modeling for your children to swim in shit. That's yeah. okay, right?
Yeah.
And to try to interact and have healthy conversations from a dysregulated
state.
Standing on 1 foot state, yeah.
Well, thank you, Nancy. This was another insightful episode. Thank I feel you. Like... Now when we publish this on Sunday, I'm going to be like, well, obviously I need to praise my children more.
It's a good reminder for all of us. Me too. I'm going to shoot mine some texts and let them know.
It's been a few days.
How I feel. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Next week, episode 8 is a big one. The structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I highly recommend that you tune in for that one.
Yes.
And we are grateful to our sponsors. Thank you all very much for listening, and please shoot us an email or a comment on any of these podcasts.
Yes, we welcome your feedback and appreciate your taking the time to join us. Thanks, Thank Marisol. You.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Be the Adult podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and don't forget to rate and subscribe to our podcast. A special thank you to a few of our Barn Dance Barbecue fundraiser sponsors for their generous support: Delaney Radiology, Coastal Carolina Radiation Oncology, the Valentino Family, Nunnally Fine Archtop Instruments, Emerge Ortho. See you on the next episode of Be the Adult Podcast.